Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm sure he's got some NBA draft takes as well. He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. One of our good buddies covering the NFL scene with Yahoo Sports, Eric Edholm, joining us here on Chico After Dark. Mr. Edholm, your draft breakdown of Chet Holmgren is what?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked me about him and not the Canary Islands kid. I wouldn't be able to give it very
me
much.
Me neither.
I mean, you're right about what you said. That height, you say, okay, he's an interior player. Obviously, he's going to have to perform in the paint a little bit, but he's got such an unusual skill set. You know, he can shoot the jumper. He can take it off the dribble. You know, I think he's going to be more like a stretch four type of guy. I think this is an amateur draft guy talking. Don't get me wrong. I don't cover this stuff.
Oh, we'll get to your professional draft coverage here in a moment.
Yeah. You got to pay extra for that. I mean, that's the premium subscription right there. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, he got knocked down a lot that I saw. I watched probably 8 or 10 Gonzaga games last year, and he was on the floor a few times, and that's going to happen. And they, you know, there aren't too many guys who are 7 foot, 200 pounds in the NBA who, you know, have careers. So he's got a fascinating skill set. I can't wait to see how he pans out.
Speaking of drafts, we got the earth-shattering news today. Everybody was waiting to see, you know, Arch Manning, and he goes to Texas. So yeah. I'm sure that your boss has said, all right, Edholm, we need that 2027 mock pronto. Where's Arch Manning going?
Yeah. My God. Isn't this their fifth star committed to the team right now? Like, they've got a kid, a true freshman coming in this year. They've got
Quinn Ewers.
They've got Quinn Ewers. I mean, it's like, yeah. I understand Clemson did something similar a few years back and made it work, but man, that's something. One of those guys is transferring, but it's funny too, because I was actually originally supposed to be down flying today, actually going down to Louisiana for the Manning camp. I was going to try to go down there to watch some of the counselors, the guys who are juniors and seniors, will be in the draft mix next year. But, you know, the hot topic was going to be, what's Arch going to do? Trip got canceled last minute. So, and it's probably a good thing, because now the Manning family doesn't have to spend the Friday's news conference talking about it. Or they will, obviously, but not in a speculative kind of way. So, yeah, I've gotten to see him play a couple times. I've watched a couple of his games just out of curiosity. And he looks good. Kid's talented. You know, it's hard for me to judge high school talent sometimes. But, man, I'll tell you what, it's not just the last name. I mean, he can move a little, too. He's not your statuesque Manning. I think he's got a little more juice. He's more Cooper in terms of athletic skills than he is Eli or Peyton.
Yeah, you know, people forget. I'm glad we'll get off on this tangent a little bit. People forget, like, Cooper Manning, he had, like, a back or neck injury, right, that was serious.
Yeah, right.
I mean, Cooper, you know, look, Peyton was obviously very good, and, well, Eli was pretty good. But both those guys say, like, man, you know, Cooper, he was a wide receiver, I think, before he had to give it up. But, yeah, Cooper was a hell of an athlete in his day, too, when it went healthy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He might have been Ed McCaffrey, right? I mean, he might have been that kind of, I don't know if he's quite that tall, but, I mean, he was that kind of a good possession receiver from what I know and everything. I never really, you know, I can't remember seeing other than a couple highlights or whatever. But, yeah, they always make sure to mention, hey, if that neck injury wouldn't have happened, Cooper might have had a shot too.
Talking to Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports, covering the NFL scene. So, You know, I ask everybody this question that covers the NFL because we want to know, well, what are you hearing? What are you hearing? But it seems like really since the HBO special aired, and I haven't talked to you in a while, but since that HBO special aired and then Rusty yep. Harden with the ridiculous comments on the Houston radio station and you got the New York Times report, like, what are you hearing as far as like a distinct possibility? We don't know anything for certain, but you hear whispers, yep. you talk to people. What are you hearing in terms of Deshaun Watson and where this this thing could go?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the latest news development, there's been some reports that have, you know, come out as well. But, you know, the fact that he settled with 20 of the 24 accusers, I don't know that that affects the discipline, but it certainly helps put a large percentage of those cases behind him. But again, there's a lot to be figured out. First of all, what's the suspension going to be? Remember, the new rules make this, you know, a different process than it was before, where, you know, Roger Goodell would, you know, hand down a number based on some recommendations and what, you know, his people are telling him. But, you know, this is in essence a little bit out of his hand, but, you know, league is obviously, I think, wanting to come down with a pretty serious, and, you know, a lot of people have speculated, maybe it's the entire season. And there's this report that, you know, they're trying to negotiate here and then, you know, almost get it down to a more reasonable number, whether it's 8, 10, 12, I don't know, you know, whatever that number may be. But, you know, this thing is far from over, too. And, you know, the fact that, you know, Ashley Solis and three other accusers have declined, you know, the opportunity to settle and want to see this thing through. I mean, they're intent on seeing what they believe is justice and making sure that he faces, you know, his these accusations up front. So you've got really a kind of a two-front thing going on here with the looming suspension, and also the four unsettled cases that, you know, are still kind of hanging over him. So that's a roundabout way of saying I don't know what the number is going to be, and I don't know that there's really, you know, in terms of comps and past, you know, discipline that have happened in the NFL.
Yep. No precedent.
You know, because the system's different now, I don't know that there's really much we can kind of go off of there.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, you mentioned the, you know, the 20 settlements, and I agree with you, and I know the league said it's not going to really have any bearing on that. I will say this, though, that I think the one thing that I've been bothered about, just from a fan standpoint, and again, I have to preface this all the time, we always have to in this business, like, well, just because I'm talking about the fans doesn't mean I'm forgetting there's a human element and alleged victims sure. and all that. But, you know, the bottom line is, like, fans, I think more than anything else in terms of this season, okay, you get what he's going to get what he gets, and you're going to have to deal with it. But I think the big thing is, like, the idea of a suspension this season, whatever it might be, and then, oh, hey, by the way, this thing's not over. We're going to hang this out, and we'll hang out until this is at least with the 20 of the 24, I would think, I don't know for sure, but I would think it will at least lead to maybe faster closure in terms of beyond 2022. You know what I'm saying?
You mean in terms of could there be some kind of suspension for next year or something like that?
Yeah, just because, I mean, as long as they're out there, like, I could have seen a scenario, and it still might happen, but I could have definitely seen a scenario when there were 24 and now there's just four. But when there were 24 where the league said, all right, I'll tell you what, he's suspended indefinitely, and when there is a resolution, not that that's going to impact, you know, their decision, but when there's an absolute resolution to all 24 cases, well, then, you know, we're going to hold out the right to maybe, you know, say, give another one, or at least say, hey, you want reinstated into the league. We're going to wait until all of these have resolution. And that could have been 2 years. So, I mean, at least it feels like it really is, as you said, to your point, it's really about precedent. I want to ask you, in terms of Eric, we talk about, and the Players Association came out and said, you know, we're definitely, if there's an appeal to be heard, we are definitely going to bring up the owners and how the owners are, you know, in the 2020 CBA, they said held to a higher standard. I don't even know if they're held to the same standard, let alone a higher standard. But this whole thing with Daniel Snyder and what's going on in the House Oversight Committee,
Yeah.
This feels, I don't know, you cover this more than I do and more than many of us. This feels like a very serious thing that, you know, Congress is saying, all right, we don't think that Roger Goodell or Daniel Snyder is really doing much of anything here, and they're just kind of hoping that it gets swept under the rug. This feels like Congress isn't messing around with Daniel Snyder and the commanders.
Yeah, no, they're not. And, you know, just touching briefly on the Watson point, I think it's fair to say that the NFLPA's defense that you just laid out, you know, that if we're, you know, holding the owners to one standard and the players to a different one, et cetera, you know, that's probably their best shot to get, I don't want to say Hail Mary, right, but use football terms with it. But still, right, I think that's kind of the thinking, is that that's probably their best long shot option right there. Now, going forward to Snyder, him kind of, you know, thumbing his nose at the process and now being deposed, I mean, look, he's become the center of attention now. He's become, not that he wasn't before, but there's now an extra layer, there's an extra target on him, if you will, as being, you know, the guy who oversaw the entire operation of this, you know, this team gone amok, right, in terms of culture, in terms of the way they treat women and minorities and whatever. You know, he's now become the face of this thing. And whether it was him doing it or not, I mean, his actions have kind of led to this, right? I mean, there may have been, you know, team presidents and other executives who are more culpable on a daily basis. You know, that's for other people to decide. But the fact that he's basically saying, no, we have a good culture and I don't need to come in, makes everybody assume he's guilty or he's got something to hide. Whether that, you know, again, we don't know what what's going to come out. But on the flip side, you know, there are a lot of people saying, well, why don't you just get rid of the guy? Now, Roger Goodell can't do that. It requires a 3/4 vote of the ownership, I believe, 24 or more votes among the member clubs to just say, we want him out as owner and the team will go up for sale and, you know, that process will begin. I don't think we're there yet, but it wouldn't be shocking if he does show up and starts talking that this could happen pretty quickly. There's two reasons for it, I would think. This is me speculating, but look, I mean, I don't know that the other owners want to be sullied by Snyder's reputation on the one hand. On the other, there may be the league may be wanting him to go because there's information that he has or, just sort of things that he's been involved with that may, you know, reflect poorly on the league. That, do you want him now out in the open?
Yeah.
You know, kind of spilling all the ugly stuff with no restrictions and not being able to get fined and all that stuff. I don't know. I don't know. This is all just me guessing here, but there's got to be a little bit of ambivalence on the Snyder front if you're an NFL owner.
We're talking to Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports, covering the NFL. Baker Mayfield, we got some reports yesterday that, Seattle might be in the market. And the interest was obviously not surprising, but then, they might be interested in extending him. And then it came back that, you know what, maybe that was leaked out from the Browns. I mean, any more with Baker, I think Andrew Berry has said he's going to play the long game on this. Who do you see him ultimately going to? And is this something where you do believe that Andrew Berry will wait until, you know, training camp, maybe even a little bit beyond that to make a deal?
Yeah, and I think the long game involves certainly, you know, I'm not, you know, saying that Andrew Berry planted these stories or whatever, but I think he got the idea out that, you know, there may be more than one team involved, which is good for him, right? You know, you want to have competition, you want to have teams feeling the need to up their offer, make a, you know, hasten their offer, get it in quicker, what have you. That obviously would be a much better situation if both Carolina and Seattle had medium to higher interest in acquiring him, but they don't feel good about their current options. You know, we've heard Drew Lock hasn't really looked all that great. Geno Smith is getting more first-team reps in Seattle. You know, we know the situation in Carolina, Sam Darnold, and, they're concerned about Jimmy Garoppolo's shoulder, and they won't probably make that kind of a trade. Yeah, obviously Matt Corral, they draft in round three. You can't really expect him to come in out of the chute and be a first-year starter, at least not in a situation where the head coach is trying to fight for his job. And Matt Rhule is probably, I don't have the odds in front of me, but I would bet he's the lowest odds to be fired first among the head coaches, whether he ends up being or not. But it's just a weird situation there in Carolina. That's if you're Cleveland, that's good. You want that kind of, pressure there, and you want to be able to say, hey, Seattle's been calling, or you go to Seattle and say Carolina's been calling. So whether that materializes or not, I don't know, but I would suspect it feels like Baker's motivated for it to happen. The Browns are motivated for it to happen. You just need a buyer. You just need one of those teams to finally pull the trigger. Seattle may be hesitant, but, that was the situation that I initially felt like, boy, that just makes sense to me, right? I didn't get trading for Drew Lock as part of that, that Russell Wilson deal. It felt like that offset what they could have gotten back in draft picks, but they've got two firsts next year, after largely sitting out the first round for, many years over the last several anyway.
Real quick, last thing for you, buddy. Lamar Jackson, it's not a panic situation, doesn't feel like, because, he showed up for, mandatory and he was there. And he,
yep.
But I guess from the sense of Bisciotti has already said, man, if he's looking for like a Deshaun, and why wouldn't he, a Deshaun Watson type contract, I don't know if we can swing that. Ultimately, do you think this gets done, and does it make it even cloudier the fact that he doesn't have an agent?
Yeah, what's funny? I thought about this conversation I had with somebody in the league who I, respect, who's in personnel, and we were talking about the quarterbacks in the 2017 class when they were coming out, and I haven't talked to this person in a couple of years, but it just sort of popped into my head, and we were talking about Lamar Jackson, and I said, what are the negatives? All right, well, he's unorthodox style. You're going to have to cater your offense to him. He's got a lean build, blah, 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 and ankles. But he can throw, he can create, he can move. But he also listed under the negatives the fact that he was being represented by himself. Really, his mother's involved too, from what I understand. And I said, really? That's a draft negative right there? And he said, absolutely. He said, because when it comes time, if you like the guy, and it comes time to negotiate a second contract, which you hope will happen, right? That's the best case scenario. You get to the point where, year three, year four, you're discussing the extension, and, both sides are happy. You don't know what to expect. Either they ask for way more than they're worth and they, take actions into their own hands, or this unusual situation that Jackson's now presented, which is playing this super slow, nobody knows where he's coming from game, and I guess you could say betting on himself or not concerned about injury or things like that. I mean, any agent would be frothing at the mouth right now to try to get an extension done. There seems to be no urgency. That's the funniest thing. So I don't know. He says he's happy. He's there. He reported. The Ravens could be one of those teams that, is much better than they were at the end of last season. But right now it's all sort of speculation.
Always a pleasure talking to Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports, covering the NFL scene. We appreciate him taking some time out. I know you hear that in the background, some screams and shrieks every now and then. Obviously, Henrik Edholm must be in the – if we're hearing shrieking from females, we know that Henrik – now, does he like, when he steps off the field, does he immediately don the shades? Because we know he's got a little bit of Hollywood in him, Henrik.
Yeah, he's got some drip to him. Yeah, I mean, this kid, he beats off the fans, right? He's got to get a fight off all the autograph seekers and everything. But then once he does that, the shades go on. He grabs a beer and he's good. He's only 7, guys. So he's not doing all that, but yeah.
He
did just have a fine assist a minute ago, I will say. I was able to check that out while we were talking.
You're putting eye black under those eyes, right?
Getting this kid ready for action.
Love it. Love it. Eric, always fun, buddy. Thank you. Get back to the game.
All right, dude. Take it easy.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.